morning. My name is Phyllis, and I will be your operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the ISDA Operation Best Practices Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Thank you. Ms. Framilero, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Welcome, and thank you for participating in today's call. My name is Nicole Framilero, and I am a Director of Trading Infrastructure with the International Swaps and Derivatives Association. The purpose of today's call is to discuss the revisions to the operational best practices for processing credit derivative transactions under the Small Bang Protocol and the DTCC aspects of processing the CEMEX restructuring credit event. I am joined by a distinguished faculty of speakers today who will share with you the updated practice recommendations for operational trade processing. Lee Silverwood from Deutsche Bank, Neve Ansley from J.P. Morgan, and Andy Byatt from DTCC DerivServe are with us to provide an overview and answer any questions you may have. Before we begin, I would like to quickly address a few housekeeping items. This call is being recorded and will be made available in due course on the operations page of the ISDA website. An email was sent earlier with the relevant materials that have been distributed, and we will be covering that information during today's call. Now, I'd like to hand over to Lee Silverwood, who will provide a brief overview. Lee?
Excellent. Thanks, Nicole. I'm going to be very, very brief here because the majority of this presentation is actually going to be given by Andy Byatt. You all have the meeting materials. Basically, they're guidance notes for the CEMEX restructuring event that was called at the beginning of this week by outside legal counsel through the Determinations Committee. The CEMEX event is an O restructuring event, an R event. It does differ from modified and modified restructuring events significantly, actually. And it's those issues that we're going to address today so that everybody is on the same page in relation to how they must trigger. I was going to go through a couple of a couple of differences between old R, MMR, and MR. But I've noted in Andy's document that he goes through those in some detail anyway, so I won't touch on those. What I would say is that the revised operational procedures will be published later today on the ISDA website. And Andy, I'm sure you're going to be publishing this document as well. Maybe we can get that on the ISDA website as well later today. Those procedures, so you'll have two sets of procedures out today. You'll have the revised tactical doc, which basically looks at modified, and modified restructuring in detail. It will include some elements of the old R details that we're discussing today, but really that's just going to be an extra paragraph or two paragraphs. Majority of old R, processing procedures will be in the DTCC documents as they were for both modified, and modified restructuring. So, Anne, if I can hand over to you now. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. We're going to start on page 3. Of the guidance notes document which Nicole sent over prior to this meeting. Just a quick note on this page, this is just providing some details around the initial announcement. There was an ISDA news release on this published on the 14th of December stating that their external review panel had reported back to the DC and that they had resolved that a restructuring event had occurred on CEMEX. And it's really that notice that it has kicked off the start of this process. A copy of that news release and additional information is, as always, available on the ISDA website in the credit derivatives section of that site. So moving over to page 4, what we're going to do is take a look at some of the commonalities and some of the differences between an old restructuring and a mod R restructuring event. As Lee previously mentioned, CEMEX is trading under old restructuring, and as such, this will be operationally very different from the Thompson restructuring event that took place through August to October of this year. Just looking at some of those differences now, and some of the features, if you like, of the old restructuring. The first is that for an old restructuring event, triggering is done on a trade-by-trade basis, and is an elective process. So your entire trade portfolio is not automatically adhered to this event as it would be with a bankruptcy or a failure to pay. It is a trade-by-trade decision as to whether to adhere on any particular transaction to this event. That triggering is available as of the EDD date on this event, and as such that triggering period is now open. The deadline for sending through credit event notices is one relevant city business day prior to the auction final price determination date, and as yet that date is not being determined by the ISDA DC. So once that is available, that information will be come out onto the ISDA website, and that will drive the deadline by which triggering must take place.
Andy, just to add one point to that, looking at the DC determination page, it looks like that may be in, I think it's late January sometime, just an indication that it's late January. Obviously they can decide that they could bring that forward, but that's certainly the initial indication.
Okay. Now, one of the major differences under old restructuring is that there is only one auction. So maturity limitation does not apply under an old restructuring event. Therefore, you will not have separate auctions for different maturities. There will only be one auction and one recovery rate, which will apply to all of your transactions triggered to this event. And derived really from that is the fact that there's no separate buyer or seller exercise notice time. Clearly, under a Mod R or Mod R restructuring event, the timing of those triggers by buyer or seller determine the maturity bucket to which a trade is applied. Because an old restructuring event only has one auction, then there is no separate cutoff. So when we actually are able to determine the final triggering deadline, that will apply equally to both the buyer and sellers to each of these transactions. Again, because there is no there are no multiple maturities, no multiple auctions under an old R event, there's no need for a movement option under an old restructuring event. And as such, there will be no movement option trigger times and no movement option available via the warehouse. The next point really is one of the major differences between the Mod R and the old restructuring, in that it is not possible to partially trigger a transaction under an old restructuring event. Now, this happily fits in with our tactical approach in the warehouse, in that we don't allow you to partially trigger transactions on a restructuring event. So there's no changes needed to the warehouse process or the tactical approach for an old restructuring event. But just as an extra note, if you do trigger outside of the warehouse, you still cannot trigger part of a transaction under this old restructuring event. Now, normally under a restructuring event, whether it being an old R or mod R restructuring event, one of the first steps would be to strip out the component transaction from any indices. Again, happily with the SOEX event, SOEX is not a component of any indices, so that step, although it would be normally required under an old R restructuring event, is not required in this case because there are no affected indices under SOEX. So because of that, really the processing with regards to SOEX old R event falls into two stages, the first being the sending of your credit event notices to trigger any individual transaction under this event, then followed by the auction processing for those triggered transactions. It's really those two sections that we want to cover in the rest of this presentation. So moving on to page 5, we want to look at the triggering process for this event, and this is where it will very closely follow the process that we used under the Thompson restructuring earlier this year. So many of you will have seen an important notice that came out earlier this week from DTCC mentioning that we have created both a CEN event and a notify event in the warehouse, and that's to facilitate you sending through your credit event notices or notifying us that one has been sent outside of the warehouse. So exactly in the same way that we did for the Thompson event, the CEN CEMEX event, which is detailed on page 5 of this document, is the event to which you will want to adhere if you want to legally deliver your credit event notice under this old restructuring event. Now you'll find this listed on the DTCC GUI under reorganization when you log in to your event processing access to the warehouse. The next few pages and screen prints go through some details just with regards to how you can adhere those transactions to this event via the GUI. You can also adhere your transactions via a CSV upload or by sending MQ messaging. This is exactly the same way that you can currently adhere to credit events or rename events in the warehouse, except that our operating procedures note that doing so to one of the events that has been set up as a CEN event legally and effectively delivers your credit event notice. So the details provided there on page 5 give the setup details for the CEN event in the warehouse. Again, you can view that via the GUI, and some of the details were included in the important notice that was sent out earlier this week. There are some important points really on page 6. This closely mirrors some of the important points that we used in the Thompson restructuring, but they are fairly critical, so we wanted to make sure that they were restated also under this event. The first point being that if you deliver your credit event notice via the warehouse by adhering to this CEN event, then that delivery is irrevocable. Regardless of any action you take on that particular message delivery in the warehouse will still consider that transaction triggered to this event. This follows the ISDA small bank protocol. I think under Thompson we had a number of instances where triggers were sent accidentally, and it was possible for firms to bilaterally agree not to process one of these transactions, but that has to be a bilateral offline agreement, which you can then affect by removing that transaction from the final auction processing event. But as far as the message is concerned, it is legally delivered and irrevocable once that has been taken into the warehouse. Second important point is that this CEN is a unilateral event. We only need one side to a transaction to submit a CEN message for that transaction to be triggered under this event. Now, because in this tactical approach, we're leveraging the functionality that we have in place already, we are using this reorganization event to enable you to send your message in. Now, one feature of that is that a normal reorganization event allows you to accept and match an adherence message. That is not required in a CEN event. So if your counterparty has submitted a message that has legally and effectively delivered that credit event notice, you do not need to accept it. You do not need to submit an offsetting message. Just one side submitting is sufficient to trigger that transaction. Now there's less of an impact in an old restructuring event should you do so, should you match one of these messages accidentally. Under a mod R or a mod R event, because there are different effects of sending in whether you're buyer or seller, then accidentally matching one of these messages has an impact on how that transaction is processed. Under the CEMEX event, because there is only one maturity or there's only one auction, the impact of accidentally matching or accept alleging these is much less. The transaction effectively from the first original message will be triggered, and there will be no difference in process if should you accept it. But bear in mind that that is not required. A CEN in an unconfirmed or an alleged status is sufficient to trigger and process that trade. And again, just a reiteration on the last point, that it is not possible to trigger part of a transaction under this CEMEX old restructuring event.
Okay, so that said, we're going to skip through the screen prints. Hopefully people can review those if they're unfamiliar with using the GUIs, and hopefully that will give them some information on how to affect that process. So moving on then to page 9, section 3.1, which is notifying the warehouse of CEMs delivered outside of the warehouse. So in accordance to the protocol, there are a number of ways that you can deliver your credit event notice, only one of which is via the warehouse. Now, as an industry best practice, it was agreed to use the warehouse for the triggering mechanism as much as possible. So as a default best practice, that's the way to trigger your transaction. However, it is possible still to deliver your CEM, you know, via fax or email or maybe even Royal Mail, who knows. Now, should you do so under a Mod R or Mod Mod R event, it was essential then that you submitted a notify event to the warehouse so that we could include that trigger that will take place outside the warehouse in the reporting to the determinations committee. Now, one of the differences between Mod R and Old R is the way in which the DC determines whether to hold an auction or not. Under a Mod R or Mod Mod R restructuring event, the DC will determine whether to hold an auction for a particular maturity bucket depending on something called the 300-5 criteria, which requires 300 transactions across 5 dealer parties being triggered to any individual maturity bucket. And that's why it was important to notify us of these events. Now, under an old R, the DC can determine an auction will take place if there are 300 transactions across 5 dealer parties in a confirmed status at any point in this process. So triggering with regards to determining an auction is immaterial in this case. So we have moved forward and created a notify event. However, it should be recognised that there is no requirement for you to submit a notify should you wish not to. It will have no material difference on the processing of the event, and it will have no material difference in the determination of an auction, which I believe, in fact, has actually already taken place by the DC.
Yeah, and just to mention, it's the 300 confirmed transactions, and I believe, is there in the DTC 1400, something like
that? Yeah, approximately 1400.
Okay, so when we have any old R events going forward, we will just look at the number of transactions within DTCC confirmed at that point in time and say whether it's going to, you know, indicate whether it's going to be an automatic auction or not. Okay, thanks.
So that covers the actual triggering mechanism or how you can actually activate any transaction for this particular CEMEX event. So moving on to page 11, section 4, which is some details on how the auction process will take place in the warehouse. So as we've mentioned, the DC will make a determination as to whether an auction will be held or not. That determination has taken place. So we are now confident that an auction will take place for this CEMEX restructuring event. Now, once we have guidance as to the auction date for CEMEX, then we will set up an auction processing event in the warehouse to facilitate the processing of that auction result. What we're planning to do is, providing we have sufficient notice of the auction date, then we will create that auction record, which will be identical to the normal credit event master records that we set up for a bankruptcy or failure to pay event. And then 3 days prior to that auction, we will run a process within the warehouse to take all of the transactions which have had a CEN message delivered on them on the CEN event in the warehouse, and we will automatically adhere to that transaction on behalf of both parties in the warehouse. So just to reiterate, if you use the warehouse to trigger your transaction by the CEN event, we will carry that across automatically for both sides of that transaction to the auction processing event. Any triggering that takes place outside of the warehouse will obviously not fall into that automated adherence, and you'll need to manually adhere that transaction to the auction processing event.
and you'll have plenty of opportunity to do that. As soon as that auction event is up and available, you can adhere those transactions, and you will have until the event processing end date to effect that adherence. You'll also have that time to be able to unadhere transactions, should you so wish. So the normal processes will apply to this credit event master record, as has applied to all of the credit events that we've run for bankruptcy and failure to pay in regard to the adherence process. So we'll run that automated transfer of CEN events 3 days prior to the auction, and then because the triggering deadline is one relevant business day prior to the auction, we will then rerun that process on the close of business the day prior to the auction to capture any additional CENs that are sent in between that 3 day period and the day prior to the auction.
Close of business New York.
In this case, yeah, it will be New York, yes.
One thing I will add to that, obviously with Thompson we saw some very strict deadlines in relation to day two and day five. Obviously there's going to be a much longer triggering period for CEMEX. However, I think what we should all bear in mind is we're not going to know the actual auction date until later in January sometime. So to some extent we should really expect to have, I wouldn't say a major rush, but certainly more transactions being triggered towards the end of January when we know the actual date of the auction. So it's just something to bear in mind in relation to, you know, manpower, you know, etc.
And then just as mentioned, even if you've got transactions that were triggered outside of the warehouse, then you can still manually adhere those transactions to this auction event all the way up until the event processing end date, which is generally 2 days prior to the cash settlement date. So again, we'll only know those dates once we have the auction date from the DC. And as soon as we have that date, we'll be able to provide details on the processing windows, cash settlement date, and there'll be another important notice sent out from DTCC as soon as we've created that master record so that everyone should have as much notice as possible of those dates. Well, once we've got to the point that the auction's been held and the recovery rate is known, the processing on that credit event follows exactly the same process as we've used for the other 51 credit events that we've had this year. So hopefully everyone's fairly conversant with how that process works. But if not, there are guidance documents, training guides on the warehouse available for people to read on that part of the process. Page 12 just covers a couple of points on, if you like, exception transactions. So 4.1 just mentions that if you have untriggered transactions in the warehouse, then and they're not adhered to the auction processing event, then they will be obviously left in exactly that status once we've finished processing on that auction. So they won't be adhered and they won't be processed. They will continue to exist after the auction and will be untouched by that process. If we get into a situation where we had triggered transactions and then the DC determined that there was no auction, then the triggering period runs for an additional 21 days after that declaration, and then any triggered transactions would then use this fallback settlement method, which in general takes place outside of the warehouse. But at least for CEMEX, we know that there is going to be an auction, so that should be of no concern in this particular event.
But because it's with this fallback settlement method, because it's a restructuring event, the determinations committee, they still publish a final list of deliverable obligations, don't they? So you still have to use those final a bond or a loan on that list of deliverable obligations to actually deliver into your fallback settlement method.
Okay, so the last section really just deals with how you can get information on triggering activity. one quick note initially is that if you are set up to absorb MQ messaging from the warehouse, then adherence messaging is available in version 8.0 onwards. If you're set up to receive that, then you can elect to receive those triggering messages on a near real-time basis, and you'll be updated whenever any triggering activity takes place. For those that are not set up on MQ, then there is a specific restructuring event adherence status report available in the warehouse. It's available in the reports download section of your GUI. Now this runs 5 times a day and gives information with regard to all of the messaging that's been received on transactions under this event. We'll give information with regards to the time that those messages were received and processed, and who sent them. Now, I believe currently this restructuring report is set up to run at the times mentioned below, at the bottom of page 12. But those particular times were used in regard to the Thompson restructuring event, and therefore were set up to be most convenient for operational groups running in the UK and Europe, with Thompson being a European event. It's quite likely over the next 48 hours that we will revise those times to make them more appropriate to US operational groups, given that CEMEX is a US entity event. So we'll send out a further update should we actually amend the processing times for this report. I think one very quick last note on this report is that the very last field on this report is labelled maturity buckets. It's clearly of use under a mod R or mod R event. Excuse me, but under this particular old R event for CEMEX, it will have no meaning. So it will have a value because that value is derived simply by comparing the scheduled termination date of your transaction to the EDD date of the event. But just to reiterate that you should disregard the value in this field under an old restructuring event. So that really concludes the walkthrough with regards to triggering and the auction processing on this CEMEX event. I don't know if anyone here would like to add anything to that before we hand back to Nicole.
I haven't got anything on CEMEX per se because it's not in an index, but I just wanted to touch on what would happen in an old restructuring transaction that was embedded within an index. So for instance, let's take an example of a Japanese name in one of the iTrax untranched indices. So for instance, if there's an event, then we would be using exactly the same process that we used for Thompson to basically split out the names. Okay, so on the evening of the DC determination, markets would reversion, the relevant index or indices, I should say, sorry. And then firms would actually go and next day, I suppose, start booking their single name component transactions for that relevant entity. And then obviously that would then join the population of other single name transactions for triggering and go through exactly the same process that we have been looking at here. So the index, although we're not looking at index reversioning now for CEMEX, it is useful to know that that process is exactly the same for old R, MR and MMR events. There is no difference in that process, but it's something that I just wanted to highlight. Should we have an old R event in the future that actually incorporates a name within any specific index? Andy, anything to add on that point? I think that's, is that fairly accurate?
Yep, I think that's absolutely fine.
Right. Nick? So Nicole, I think we're kind of concluding here. Maybe we want to open it up to a Q&A session and the operator can advise how to do that.
Yep, that's great. Operator, if you could let us know if there's any questions on the line, please.
Yes. At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. I'm sorry, that question was withdrawn. Your next question comes from Goldman Sachs.
Hi there. We had two questions. One first just in regards to the unadhering transactions. We're assuming that this would be done bilaterally from the auction processing. Would it resemble something like current disable?
I just want to make sure I understand the question. As we mentioned, that you can bilaterally and offline from the warehouse agree to essentially ignore a triggering. All you would need to do to effect that is essentially unadhere the transaction from the final auction processing event. We then won't re-adhere it at all. It will not get processed and it will stay in its current format. So that kind of forgiving process would need to be done by both parties offline of the warehouse in this tactical solution.
Yeah, so, sorry, just to clarify, is the situation you're thinking about when you actually trigger a specific transaction, so in effect it's an irrevocable send, and then you decide bilaterally to disregard that?
Yep, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, so as we mentioned then, you can do that offline and then simply ensure that that transaction is unadhered from the auction processing event, which effectively then removes that the processing effect of that CEN.
Okay. And then just my second question also, just in regards from the trigger to auction move. Just section 4.1 says events that are triggered, are not triggered, should not be adhered to the auction, but can they be? Do we know if DTCC actually has a block in place where untriggered events will not be able to be adhered to the auction manually?
We very specifically don't have a block in place. So that if someone sends you a trigger via a fax, for example, then you can still include that transaction in the auction process by adhering it to that event. That adherence that you do manually to this event is bilateral. So if you adhered it, it would only be included in the process if your counterparty confirmed or sent in the other side of that adherence. So there should be very little window of opportunity to have something processed that shouldn't be. If you send the CEN, we'll do that adherence for you automatically. If you do the adherence to the auction processing event manually, then it's a bilateral matched process.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. Our next question comes from the line of Jordan Eshet.
Andy, regarding the trades maturing on 12/20, are they going to stay live on the position file as discussed after the Thompson event?
I think that they would follow the normal process. So I don't think we have anything specific in place to prevent mature transactions from dropping to an inactive status in the warehouse. That's something I'd need to take away and look at, I'm afraid.
Okay, and if they are inactive, it won't be possible to trigger them in the warehouse after 12/20, right?
You can reactivate them. It's an additional manual step to effectively reawaken an inactive transaction. And then once it's reawakened, you should be able to manually adhere that to that event. But I'll go away and confirm if they will drop to inactive. And I think what I'll do at that point then is I'll try and look to include a section on this document as to how to reawaken an inactive process.
That's a very good question, actually. So, yeah, we'll definitely amend these procedures to include that. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, there are no further questions.
So Nicole, I think we can probably wrap up there. Obviously, I think Andy's going to look to, probably just off that last point, to revise these procedures before they get posted on the website. DTCTN is the website. What I would suggest also is that, Nicole, because we're going to update this document, we also do some kind of communication out to the same group where we send the meeting invite, so that everybody has the most up-to-date link to the document.
Yep. Yeah, so not a problem. What we'll do is, once we've got the revised version and the recording of the call made available, we'll circulate it to all of the registered participants from today's call, as well as the credit operations working group.
Okay, brilliant. So really, I just suppose I'm just going to conclude and say thank you all for dialing in. I think it was very beneficial considering it's the first OldR event that we've undertaken, slightly different than MMR and MR events and the Thompson event, but at least we covered off on, I think, all aspects where there are differences. So once again, thank you all for spending time dialing in this afternoon. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.